evening, everyone. This is Terry from Colorado. KI0RE is my call sign. This is the NLA HamsNet. Everyone who is interested in the NLA or the HamsNet is welcome to join in. And we do appreciate audience participation to the max. This net is held every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And I just talk about things concerning ham radio and the NLA. Now, tonight's topic will be all over the board unless somebody has some questions that they'd like answered. So I open the floor for questions at this point. Silence was deafening. Okay, then you get the worst of it here. I would like to recommend...
Hello?
Yes, hello. Do you have a question?
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hear you.
How are you?
Hi.
That's because my cord is bad. The question... Now, this is what call is this tonight?
The NLA HamsNet.
I'm sorry?
The NLA HamsNet.
Ham radios.
Oh, the ham radios. Okay. Alrighty. Okay, how much are they? Because I want to maybe order one for next, when I get paid next week.
Yeah, you can get a Bofang off of the page at National Liberty Alliance.
Okay,
what
I don't
about...
Okay.
Well, all you got to do is convince somebody that you'll send them the money and then they can get it for you.
Okay, and
the
they go for approximately what?
The basic model is $30. If you get a battery eliminator, it's a little more. If you get a speaker mic, it's a little more. If you get the big one that is plus and it has a bigger battery, costs a little more. If you get an alternate antenna, it costs a little more. You get the idea.
Okay, so with the big battery, the antenna, and speaker, what does it go for, like $70, $80?
It's about $70, yes. That's what I got.
Okay, all right.
And you can call, I guess, me sometime privately, and I'll choose your thing, and then when it asks for a sum total, I'll tell you what the amount is, and then you send me that amount, and I will order that radio for you. How's
okay,
that?
Well, that's fine. You have my number.
Who do we have? You're anonymous.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Crystal. Here, I'm going to call back in.
Right.
Okay. I'll call you back in so you get it. Okay, I'll call you right back in.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Does like her privacy. Gets good.
Yep. Well, moving right along.
I want to recommend Chirp for everybody. Chirp is... I forget what the acronym stands for. Maybe it's not even an acronym. Let's see, about Chirp. And it's written partially in GTK, partially in PyGTK, and partially in Python. Dan Smith holds copyright, KK7DS. He's on chirp.danplanet.com. You can go out to Chirp, C-H-I-R-P, .danplanet, all one word, .com, and get Chirp. It's pretty neat software. He has some people that help him, Tom, Marco, and Jim. And there are some others that have translated Chirp into Polish, Italian, Dutch, German, Hungarian, Russian, and Portuguese. So this is a community effort. And I want to tell you, I've never seen the quality of software from the manufacturer as good as Chirp. I love it. Now, that doesn't mean it makes everything perfectly easy and you have no problems. There are still things that you have to be aware of. Excuse me, I have a cold, so I'm going to mute for just a second and blow my nose.
Okay, well, Terry is doing that. I put a link for a free download of Chirp on the website. It's under the COS button and then the HAM emergency communication plan. And there's a video you can watch on how to use the Chirp. And right underneath that, there's a link you can click and you can download a free copy and install it on your computer. Over.
And, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, Jan. And what is that, Radio Reference? Is that the website?
Yeah, danplanet.com, projects, /chirp, /wikis/home.
Okay, it's good to have Chirp. I think they should get that. But they also need to know what frequencies and what repeaters are in their area. Radio Reference, and that's what? Radio Reference something. I got a bunch of
amateur, amateur radio repeaters by state. If you go down one video underneath the Chirp video on the website under the ham radio section, you'll find a link to go to what's called airscriptpub.com repeaters, and it'll give you a list by state or zip code. You can punch in your zip code, find your closest repeater, or put your county or state and track it down.
Okay.
So that information's there. All you got to do is go punch it in and take a look at the map.
So you have something that you need to resolve. And when the radio gets to you, unless you paid the $25 for it to be programmed by somebody in NLA for you, it will come with no frequencies plugged in. So you have to get in there and figure out what the frequency should be and how you program it. Now, you can take the Baofeng operating manual, which you can get at www.baofengradio.us, and you can walk through that trying to understand all the options. There's about 40 options, and each one carries some consequences if you change it to something that it shouldn't be, or you change it. You can't change it to something it should be. Let's put it a different way. If you change it to something that's incompatible with the repeaters that you want to program in, it can make a big difference in what you do and what you see and where you're able to talk. So I had plugged in a few. Last year I learned how to program my radio so that I could have a few UHF channels and a few VHF channels, and I got them put in. And they did work, except I had the wrong tone because they changed it the weekend I left to go to the mountains. They changed the tone, the side tone, from 123 hertz to 88.5. This was devastating for me because I could not connect to those repeaters, even though I had taken a look on Google Earth before I left on my backpacking trip and ensured that I had some places, not everywhere, but I had some places where there was no intervening obstructions, and I could talk to these repeaters. But no matter how hard I tried, I could not talk to them while I was on my backpacking trip because I had the wrong tone. Okay, any questions so far? Okay, I've kind of gone over some of these things before. I'm looking at www.radioreference.com, which seems to be a very good resource. And what I want to do, for me it's Colorado. For anybody else, you got to pick your state. And all you got to do, you come up with a map of the United States, you click on it. And it gives you some things. It gives you the counties that it has. It's not as extensive as possibly the link that Jan told you about, but a lot is populated on it. And I have to say, it's been very good for me. So your problem is that you need to put in the frequencies that you want to talk on that radio. Now, it can be a long and arduous process. So the best thing you can do is read that Bofeng manual, educate yourself on what options there are, and then go about trying to determine what options you need to talk on the repeaters in your area. The first thing you have to get right, of course, anybody want to guess? I'm asking for audience participation here. The first thing you have to find out is the output frequency of the repeater. You don't listen to the input frequency because that's what you're going to talk on. So repeaters have an output frequency and an input frequency. And what you're on, the frequency you're on to hear traffic on that repeater is the output frequency of the repeater. And anybody gets on it and starts talking, you'll hear it because you're listening to the output of the repeater. Then when you go to talk, you want your radio to jump to a different frequency. You want your radio to jump to the input of the repeater. Okay? So somehow you have to find what the repeaters are in your area. Now there's several ways to do this. Jan provided one link. Rewind and listen to the link he provided. I didn't follow it because I was looking up on my own. Look up radioreference.com and see if it's in there. Or at many, many radio stores, they have a little pocketbook that's called the ARRL Repeater Directory. And it used to be $10. It's now up to about $13 or $14. I can't remember. And it lists all the repeaters. It's an annual book, or maybe it's a biannual book. The one I have in my hand right now is 2004-2005. How far off is it? Well, I don't know. Could be it's substantially correct, but that's over 10 years ago, and things will have changed. Some things won't have changed, like the Bark repeater is on 14670. It's been 14670 since the late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there. It's been that frequency well before that because I learned about it when I was working with Bark Juniors, teaching the kids ham radio. But the club is over, well over 50 years old now. It might be 60 years old by now. And that repeater's been around a very long time. It's the W0DK repeater. Another place, let's see. Anyway, you've got to find out what frequency that repeater output is on and the input. And they go in different places inside of Chirp. When you plug in the right tool, and I highly recommend anybody who buys one of these Bofengs, get the programming cable that comes with it. Some of them are correct and some of them aren't. I can't tell you which one is or how to tell the difference. Mine worked right off the top when I got it. And what did I get? Let me see. Hang on a second. I got a Bofeng connector cable, and on one end it has a USB connector, and on the other end it has the two connectors that go into the same place that a speaker mic goes into. One is power and transmit, and one is listen, receive. And so you plug this into the radio, you plug the other part in it. And I want to tell you something, a little shade here. It's kind of got a long part on the back of it that you can hold when you're plugging in. Inside that is a chip. Some connect some of these cables have a bad chip. They had a different version, and it doesn't always work with Chirp. Mine does. So as you buy it, get the Bofang one, and you'll probably be okay. But I don't know. You'll have to do your research on that. So, frequencies. What you really need is the output frequency of the repeater and the input frequency. We talked about that. The difference in the two, you subtract one from the other, whichever one's lowest to whichever one's highest. And you get what's called an offset. Anybody know what the offset is for VHF? Jan?
I did.
Okay,
I don't remember
that
for VHF.
The offset for VHF, the standard offset for VHF, is 600 kilohertz. So that's a 0.6 on the end. Okay, it'll jump up that many kilohertz. So 14670 is the Bark repeater. I mentioned that before. The offset is 0.600. So when I turn on the Bark repeater and I start to transmit to the repeater so that I can talk to everybody else through the repeater, my transmit frequency jumps down to 146.1. It jumps 600 kilohertz down below 146.7, which is 146.1. Does that make sense to everybody? Anybody confused yet? Hey, Jan, I guess I'm not well enough. What?
Okay, it sounds good.
Go ahead. Okay. What else do you need to know? Well, one thing is that some repeaters require side tone. And that tone has to be right, or the repeater will ignore your signal. And you'll keep transmitting and transmitting. I can hear them. This really strong signal coming from that repeater, but I can't talk on it. Well, it might be that it has a tone requirement. And you might want to set that tone to the proper one to, in order to listen to the to the other people that want to transmit on that repeater. All of these things are represented in the Chirp display, and there's several columns, and there's several rows. The rows represent a memory location, and the columns represent the information stored in the radio at that memory location. And I'm just going to read them off real fast. Don't worry about it, because the first thing you do is you read what's in the radio, and that's what sets those up. It does it automatically for you. But LOC is the location. That's the memory location that is represented by that line. Then the frequency. Then you can put a name in. You cannot use the Bofang radio to put a name on any memory location. You have to do it on the computer. So I really appreciate Chirp working, because now I don't have to remember that 145.460 is the Boulder CRA repeater, because I can put BLDRCRA in there, and I know it right off, and that's 145.46. The next one is tone mode. Does it use a tone or does it not use a tone? Then there's what is that tone? So in other words, I've got some here. 402.225, which is a UHF channel. I've got none. It doesn't use tones at all. So it's going to ignore what's in the tone column. And then, tone squelch. What is tone squelch? That's saying that unless you're listening to the repeater and you put in the tone squelch, the tone that the repeater is sending out, you won't hear anybody talk back to you. It'll be like it's not even there. You can talk all you want, and you may be interrupting conversations because you cannot hear the repeater that people are talking on. So tone squelch, if the repeater uses a tone on the output, you need to set the tone squelch so you can listen to that repeater. Next is DTCS code, and that has to do with the digital and the DTCS receive code. I don't know all those numbers. I'm going to skip those for the time being. DTCS, POL, I don't remember what that is. I should know, but I'm forgetting right now. And then cross mode. Cross mode is...
Happy baby.
Hello? I'm getting some noise. Do you hear that noise?
Yes,
okay,
I did. I'll mute it.
Okay. Thank you. There's cross mode, which either says tone, or it might say something different. Let me see if I can tell you what the difference is. It might say tone, DTCS, DTCS to tone, or just tone, or just DTCS, or just DTS on the input, just DTS, DTS both on the input and output. So what this is telling you is that it wants to use tones here in DTCS or tones and tones. Most of them are defaulted to tone. One's the output, one's the input. I don't remember which one you got. Next one is duplex. Duplex means that one person talks on the repeater. They talk on the input channel when they transmit, and it goes out over the repeater and out the output frequency of the repeater, which is the first column. And the duplex, in combination with the offset, tells it how far that frequency is from the output frequency. So I have, for instance, the Bark repeater is a negative duplex, and it's a 600 kilohertz offset. So it's going to go down 600 kilohertz off the output frequency to listen to your transmission, your input frequency. I have another one, and let's see, I don't recognize where that is, but it's 147.075, and it uses a positive duplex at 600 kilohertz. And so it goes up. So instead of listening on 147.075, it's going to listen, the repeater's going to listen for your transmission on 147.675 because it goes up 600 kilohertz. So we have the duplex, and then there's one that's split. Now, I use the split because I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm taking my repeater or my mobile repeater in my milk crate mobile, I call it, and I built it into a milk crate so I could easily pick it up and put it in a car in support of a mobile truck at the MS-150. And depending upon what frequency, I set the frequency on there, and it will listen to that frequency inside that mobile when I set it upright. And it will act like a repeater, but it's much more powerful than my little 5-6-watt handheld transceiver, HT. So I've got one set up, and it listens on 454.325, which is a free frequency that I use, and it transmits. It's a split, so it transmits on 147.675. So the offset is 147.675, which puts it up as a split. It's the real frequency that you're going to use. It's not really an offset. It's not like the pluses and the minus. So I set the radio on that offset, and when I key up, my big milk crate radio in the van is listening, and it turns around and transmits that on a frequency out to the people back at headquarters or net control so that I can walk around anywhere in the rest stop and my signal is going to get the benefit of a large antenna and more power sitting on the truck. Okay. Everybody with me?
It's your own private little repeater.
It is my own private little repeater, and I can give that frequency to anybody that wants to talk. The thing on this one is, excuse me, whatever repeater I put it on, that repeater has to be down, not down, but no activity on it. If it detects activity, it blocks me, and I can't talk. So I wait until the whole thing goes down, and then I key up, and it goes through my radio and then out to the repeater, and then net control can hear it. And they hear a much better signal than if I do it straight off of my radio. Then we have, after the offset, we have the mode. All of these, and UHF and VHF, are FM at the moment. And what is, and the two choices are FM and narrow FM. Well, in the States, we use FM, and overseas, we use narrow FM. And it's just how wide do we allow the frequency to shift as we modulate it. And narrow FM, you know, I'm going to get this wrong, but just as an example, FM has 25 megahertz of slop in there, so that you're always modulating within that 25 megahertz. Your modulation of the radio does not go beyond that 25 megahertz, which is 13.5 up or 12.5 up and 12.5 down. In Europe, they have what's called narrow FM, and they only give you 15 megahertz to do your modulation on. That means your circuits have to be a little tighter. And sometimes it works better, sometimes it doesn't. It just all depends. But you have to get the mode right. Okay, and then what power setting? It says, what power do you want this, when you transmit on this one, this location, this memory location, what power do you want to use? Well, I've got all of these at high. Well, do I need them all at high? No, because I'm very close to the truck on when I'm using my my little personal repeater on my milk crate radio. So I will turn that to low, and then I'll go from there. And then there's a skip. And what that's used for is, if you're listening to a bunch of frequencies in the area, it will go down through each one. But if you have one like weather, everybody has listened to the little weather radios, they're nearly continuous transmitting. Well, if you put it on scan to scan all my memory locations, every time it gets to the weather, it's going to stop. Well, that's not really good, because I don't want to listen to the weather every time I go cycling through all of my memory locations. So I check, put a check mark out there and skip what, how's it represented. Oh, you put an S and it skips it. So I put an S out there, and now as it runs through looking for traffic on every single memory location, it will skip the weather, which means that I don't stop at the weather every time. It's when somebody comes up on the repeater, I hear them because it hits that repeater and it stays for a certain amount of time. Okay, that is about 25 minutes of talking. Is there anybody who wants to bring up a new topic or a suggestion or has a question or a criticism or anything else? Please call now. Okay, that silence means one of two things. Either I am satisfying your curiosity, or I completely bored you to death and you're now either dead or asleep.
You think?
I, if this is not a topic that everybody wants to attempt, that's fine. What I didn't cover were there's some other things inside of CHIRP. On the left, there's the memory locations. There's also settings. So there's basic settings, advanced settings, other settings, work mode settings, FM radio preset, DTMF settings, service settings. All of these things can be set on the radio to whatever you choose. And like your squelch, I have 10 VHF squelch settings and 10 UHF squelch settings. And I can make those go up in steps of however many dBs I want. Right now, it looks like they're set. There's zero squelch, which means I hear the radio all the time. And you will hear the radio all the time. And then the first squelch. Squelch 1 is about 21 dB. So if my signal isn't 21 dB or 21 dB above the noise, I don't hear it. I don't hear the signal I'm listening for. Squelch 2 is 23. Squelch 3 is 25. To squelch 9, 33. So something has to break that squelch. And the way you find it is you find out what the noise level, the general noise level of where you are. And sometimes you have to recheck this while you're out in the field because your noise level will change. And you turn on the squelch and you find that 4 is a little too open, that the radio is always talking to me. But if I set it to 5, I don't quite hear everything when people transmit. I would go into this on settings, service settings, and I'd change that 29 on 5 to 28, which is only 1 dB more than 27. Maybe it makes a difference. There's lots more settings there, basic settings, carrier squelch level, battery saver, backlight timeout. The beep is enabled on mine. You can turn off the beep so that you quietly select what you want, but you don't get the feedback of the beep. Your timeout timer, mine's set at 60 seconds. That means that everything kind of goes off at 60 seconds. The lights on it that come up when I touch a key, they go off 60 seconds later unless I keep touching keys. Display mode A is a frequency. I could change that to the name or the channel. Display mode B, same thing. I can change it to a name or a channel or a frequency. I got them both set to frequency at the moment. So when I'm putting those names in, unless I change one of these to the name, I'll never see that name. Standby LED color, mine says purple, orange, blue, or off. Well, I put it to purple. I like purple. Receive LED color, I made it blue, so if I'm receiving a signal, I get a blue color. And the transmit LED color, I made that orange. On the Bofang, there's a little indicator light to the left of where the speaker is, and that is your receive LED color. So when that lights up, you're receiving something. You're receiving a signal somehow. And then when that light turns orange on my radio, because I selected it right here, I now know that I'm transmitting. It's kind of like an idiot light in a car that says, hey, dummy, you need to go to a gas station. Well, if you look at the gauges, you need to go to the gas station. You don't need an extra light, but it'll tell you. Same thing can be said for high light versus low headlights. Some people like to have something that says, your brights are on. And some people don't like that. They think it's an idiot light. And then there's a Roger beep, and I did not enable that because I don't want to beep at the end of my transmission. More settings. Now, the next one is browser, and let's see what the root is. Okay, root. Oh, this is complex. Inside your radio is like a little computer, and if you know anything about, like, File Manager, or if you know Unix, the Unix file tree, directory tree, this is where it stores stuff. And you can get right down to the hex, the decimal, or the binary number that you want to change and change it to your heart's content. All you got to do is go to this and do it. And you can look on that, and it'll tell you what your firmware is. I got mine, line 1 says HN5RV01. My line 2 says 1FB297. So if a firmware, I need to update mine, I'll have to go figure out how to do that. I haven't done it yet. Limits, new limits, VHF, enable, hex, blah, blah, blah. Enable it, you lower it, or upper. I don't know what that is. And same thing for UHF. Limits, old. So there's the old one. Anyway, you can go through the browse and look at all of this that's on the radio. Now, going back up to memories, I have my familiar column and row thing, just like a spreadsheet. And as a matter of fact, you can push these out to a spreadsheet, make all your choices on the spreadsheet, and then load it back in, as import it as a radio image, and then load it on your radio. It's easy to do with Chirp. Otherwise, you have to go through the programming the way it tells it in the book. And I want to tell you, it is arcane and difficult, but if you do it enough times, you'll go right to what you need and fix it. Then there's tabs across the top on memories. One is special channels. I don't know what that is. And then show empty. And show empty shows you all the frequencies, all the memory locations that have not been programmed with the frequency. And you can, if you click show empty, it'll show all of them. And they say 00988.5, blah, 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 blah. There's no frequency in there, so you really can't use that channel, that memory location. Click show empty again, and it shows just the ones you programmed. I have location 0 through 25 programmed for one thing. As a matter of fact, 25 is a VHF call frequency, which is 145.520 megahertz. And then I have 126 and 127. At 127, I have the local weather channel for the area that I'm in. I intend to put all the weather channels in there, but I'll put them down around 70 or something like that. And then 126 is our local Colorado Connection repeater, which is a big repeater. There's about 20 repeaters statewide. And if you talk on any one of them, key up on the input frequency to any one of those 22 repeaters, they all link up, and you're transmitting not on one repeater, but all 22 at the same time, which is quite powerful. You have to be very careful talking on that, or you just create a lot of interference. All right, are there any questions? Because we're getting close to the end time. If you wanted to ask a question or make a suggestion, please call now.
This is KC3 HBA. Just a general comment. I'm glad you brought up the topic of programming tonight, because I have two Bofangs. One's all programmed. One is not. I have the cable to the computer, and you reminded me that I need to program my other Bofang with all the channels I've got on the original. Thank you very much for that. Over.
Okay,
I also have
so,
Chirp.
Yeah, do you want to outline how you'll do that in Chirp?
After I've done it, I will be delighted to do that.
Would you like me to give a summary synopsis of what you'll have to do?
Sure.
You take and you plug into the radio that has the memory locations you want, and mm-hmm. you bring up, you're plugged in, and you're plugged it into your USB port of the computer, and then you turn on the radio to full volume. And I forget whether you have to tell the radio to read, but it'll start reading at some point, whether you tell it or not. I can't remember if you got to tell it or not. And it will bring in the image, the thing that I've been reading in Chirp, to tell all you guys all of this. At that point, you say, I got an image. You fix that image the way you want it fixed. You can change the memory locations. You can put this up there and that down there. And if you want, you can actually export it to a CSV file and pull it into a spreadsheet. And everybody knows how to operate on a spreadsheet. Well, most people. So you get it down to exactly what you want. You turn your radio back on. And this time you say, send this out to the radio. And it reprograms to exactly what you have showing in the Chirp software. Then you turn that one off. You unplug that radio. You plug it into the other one. Turn it on all the way. And then say, write this to that radio too. And it'll go. And everything in Chirp goes and writes it out. So if you've done your homework and you've programmed the radio properly, you now have two radios with identical frequencies in each memory location, identical memory locations, and identical options. You don't have to go through and verify all 40 different options. Make sense?
Great. Yep, great. That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it is.
All I got to do is find some time to get it done, right?
Sure. Oh, Jan, we know you sit back and don't do anything.
Right.
You're right. Okay. I think that's about all we got. If anybody has anything, call now because we're running out of time.
So ends the saga.
Yep, that's 10 seconds, so I think that's about enough. Thank you all very much. This has been the NLA Hams Net. It's held every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Terry from Colorado. My call sign as a ham is KI0RE, Kilo, India, Zero, Romeo, Echo. I welcome anybody to come on to the net and talk about ham radio and or NLA information. And I'm going to close the net now. Thank you very much, all of you, for participating. This is KI0RE Clear.